This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Four fans and four air conditioners make enough noise inside the artistic director's studio on the top floor of the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre. The bare walls and glass windows bounce back every sound made as if in an echo chamber. Three female actors, Christina Oro, Sophia Hanifa and Marina Tan, are busy getting ready for the rehearsal. They're shouting instructions. They're communicating information to each other over that constant hum. They're repeating themselves. They're also trying to dress themselves. Christina is in basic black, long sleeve loose top over loose pants, on her feet, black flats. A dash of colour comes from the gold-coloured scarf that she has around her neck. Sophia, she's in a sleeveless white top over loose black pants, which come down to about mid-shin. Her feet are bare. Around her neck, a scarf streaked in black and white, like that of a zebra. The diminutive Marina appears to be bundled under a heavy knee-length winter coat, though on her it falls past her knees. Underneath the coat, pink baggy pants, which end just above her ankles. You can't see her hair. It's wrapped under a colourful Sophia Loren scarf, tight, framing her face. Like Sophia, her feet are bare. The fans, the air conditioners, they're turned on to keep Marina cool. The director, Yuen Ng, a linguist by training, is speaking to the production team gathered in the room today.
Okay, guys, we have just back for holidays. We haven't had a couple of years for 8 years. It's okay if you don't remember your lines. Quite okay.
They're seated in a row, facing the rehearsal stage, marked off by imaginary lines, but there's real furniture spread across the space. Stage right. Dark brown plastic chair, the kind you find at a mamak stall, and then left of it, a little upstage, a stainless steel trolley, empty bottles on the top shelf, empty plastic drip bottles on the one below. Center stage, and in line with the dark brown plastic chair, what looks like a white wooden park bench, large enough for two people to sit back and lean into. Just in front, just far enough to rest your feet on if you were on the bench, we have a brown wooden coffee table, glossy magazines spread across the top, like you might see at, you know, a doctor's waiting room. Stage left, little downstage, a naked oxblood coloured metal bed frame, which the director assembled just minutes before. Mismatched furniture, make-do costume, clashing colours. This is a rehearsal of Marble Hearts, a new contemporary play by the director Yuen, based on Shakespeare's King Lear, which, under the bard's pen, suggested a time of damsels in sinuous dresses and knights in less than shining armour, battling enemies and elements alike. Today, though, with the female actors in pants and a set with a metal frame bed, Marble Hearts feels very different. It's textured differently, too. Under Yuen, a king is a corporate leader. The throne hall is an office, and princesses are daughters, like Paris Hilton, Kim and Kourtney Kardashian. Yuen tells how this new play was born.
The idea for Marble Hearts began around 8 years ago when Farida Marikan suggested that I write a play about the three daughters of King Lear. I think the original intention was to create a black comedy, a domestic tragedy, something like that. But when I finally came around to doing it, I thought, why not have some fun? Women in Shakespeare tend not to be represented terribly well. A lot of the women function as plot devices, and they're killed off the moment they're no longer required. Some of the more interesting characters are always compromised by something, morality or something else. In Shakespeare, Ophelia is often a character that is very popular with actors because of that great monologue that she has. But in the context of Hamlet, she is a two-dimensional character, and she dies. Lady Macbeth, a great character, is compromised by her own morality. There are few women heroes in Shakespeare. Not enough, I think.
But how is it based on King Lear? What stays and what's new? Yuen says,
Marble Hearts, we have the same events, the same characters, some of the same speeches of Lear that are quoted by the daughters, but for completely different reasons. I didn't choose to write Marble Hearts based on King Lear. In a sense, it was chosen for me. but I enjoyed the challenge of the limitations. How can I craft a new story based on characters and events of a well-known play? So basing it on Lear is only half of the problem. The action of Marble Hearts is consistent with the principal action of King Lear, rather the principal action that affects the three characters, Goneril, Regan, and Cordelia. But beyond that, we had to take it very, very much further. And what I did was I created new blank verse, modern English. The play is in modern English, except for the quotes from Shakespeare. And I created new blank verse to indicate madness in the same way that in King Lear, prose is used to indicate madness. This began as an experiment, it began as a challenge, eventually it became a plot device, and I was quite pleased with it.
He then proceeds to explain how contemporary audiences can access this new play.
The conclusion of Marble Hearts is a tough one. Act 3 is markedly different from Acts 1 and 2 and offers a very large twist in the plot. I can't actually tell you very much about it without giving that plot away. However, I will say that the end can be read as consistent with the original play, or it can be read as something else. Marble Hearts is primarily entertainment. There will be no hidden message. You will not be able to find anything there. However, I do make explicit reference to old men who like to gather younger men around them and pay them to create trouble. They dress themselves up in uniform, and then they disappear with large sums of cash, which they park in the Cayman Islands, possibly to start up sovereign wealth funds. They are jokes. But the pull, if there is a pull, is I do believe that similar situations affect families. Not in the same way, of course. I mean, this is theatre and we are making some entertainment out of it. But I think many families go through the same challenges, the same tensions, especially over money. It's all about money. The play is about money and dividing property. Who gets the bigger share? And I thought exploring that psychologically is very interesting. And if we imagine traditional families in Malaysia particularly who like to pass on property to sons, especially, what happens in households where there are no sons, there are only three daughters? What kind of disappointment will the old man face? And what kind of deals does he have to do with himself to justify giving which portion to which girl? That's fascinating.
For sure, Shakespeare, dead 400 years, continues to speak to us in a time of sycophantic followers who, for their own material gain, would stoop to curry favours, tossing what values they have to the wind. Beware champions bearing ulterior motives. That's what we say. Coming up, two actors, Christina Oro and Marina Tan, give us a glimpse into the characters of the sisters, Goneril, Regan and Cordelia, Lear's daughters. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Does lying suddenly make you uncomfortable?
There's been enough of that.
Your point?
Look where it's got us.
You've never lied to me before.
This isn't about us.
Exactly.
Can we just do one thing right, Goneril? One thing, without corrupting it. Fine, I'll tell her.
Do you want to lie down?
What?
Feeling weak at the knees?
She deserves better than this.
I knew it.
Better than us.
Your guilt will be the end of you.
It's not about me.
She needs time to adjust, isn't that what you said? It's why we're here, to keep an eye on her. And you know what she can be like.
She's not a pet, Goneril. Not a plaything like those tenants you have downstairs.
I never said she was.
She's not a doll for you to dress up your own farcical image.
Oh, and you're such a better example.
Hi.
Oh. Come, Cordelia, come in.
Where shall I put these?
Wherever you like. The bedroom's through there. Kitchen, bathroom, balcony.
Broom cupboard.
What is this place?
Her secret love shack. It has a certain lingering charm if you smell hard enough. But you'll get used to it.
Oh, no.
What?
I forgot my bracelet, the one my mother left me.
Do you remember where you put it?
My dresser, I think, or my bedside drawer. We have to go back.
No.
But really, I need...
I'll get it for you.
It's all I have left of her.
Your room's all locked up and only I have the key. Don't worry, no one will get in, I promise. Why don't you make yourself at home?
How long do I have to stay here?
We need some time to work things out.
But how long?
I don't know.
As long as it takes.
Can I go out?
No.
It's better if you didn't, not for now.
But what if I need things?
What? What do you need?
I don't know things.
Food, Goneril. She's a human being, not a toy.
We'll get whatever you need.
You're staying with me?
What, in the broom cupboard?
As often as we can.
But it's so empty. and dark.
Well, you can't go back.
Regan,
tell her.
We agreed.
Or I will.
Tell me what?
That problem you were waiting for, it's...
Come, Cordelia. Sit, please.
What's going on?
Maybe we haven't been as direct as we might have been.
You still aren't.
There wasn't time to explain before we left, and you were, you know, upset on the drive here.
I'm sorry.
Don't be, it's okay.
Stop mollycoddling her.
Do you remember when Father called us into his office?
Yes.
He asked us if we loved him.
How could I forget?
Do you remember what you said?
Yes. I said I loved him no more or less than any daughter should. It's what you told me to say. What did I do wrong?
Nothing.
What?
It's the why of it. You did nothing wrong. He did.
Even his best and soundest years were rash.
They were more than rash.
And we can expect from his old age not just these same imperfections magnified a thousandfold, but also some new, unruly waywardness. Our father's going mad.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. What would a reimagining of King Lear be without its titular character? Perhaps, as you just heard, it might be the story of its women. That's the premise of a new play, Marble Hearts, and joining me now to discuss it are two of its players, Christina Oro and Marina Tan. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
What did we just listen to?
It's one of the scenes that we have where you see us all three for the first time on stage. And... get an idea of what's going on between three sisters that you may not have from before. So.
And what can we surmise, without giving too much away, what can we surmise from that scene about who you are, how you relate to one another?
Well, it kind of suggests that Cordelia's, that's Marina's entrance, was a little abrupt and maybe... slightly unexpected, and you know, it gives you an idea of maybe sisters three may not necessarily mean united, and that we have some things that we have to keep from each other.
Yeah, and I think it's a nice transition from Lear, where I think if people are familiar with Lear, Cordelia is the father's favorite, maybe, you know, a little bit mollycoddled and sheltered. And the other two have a face that they put on in front of him and a different face that she knows about.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's funny, though, that... I mean, I'm not very familiar with the original play, King Lear, but she is the one that makes a stand against her father. And it would be interesting to see how people who are familiar with Lear would like to... would react to the telling of this story.
Marina, you play Cordelia. Christina, you play?
Goneril.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about those characters. I mean, I suppose people... I don't know if King Lear is the most well-known Shakespearean play here in Malaysia, at least. But for people with some sort of passing familiarity, are your characters... You know, who are they? Are they the same as the ones you see in the play?
Okay, so for me, Cordelia is the youngest child, and I think something that that's resonating with me is what it's like to come after everybody else has entered the space before and claimed their space, and then you come along, just as in the family, in the country, anywhere, and being the youngest, you know, people have all kinds of expectations and impositions that they put on you, and how do you survive? You know, and how do you grow up, negotiate your way in the world, survive that, to be true to yourself?
I think this particular play does explore how people, I mean, in this case it's women, but how anybody puts a face on and plays the game of life or the court or politics or whatever. And... it's very interesting because, for example, Cordelia is the last in line. Should she play up being mollycoddled or whatever? And I'm the eldest, Goneril, and I feel that my character has very much taken on this idea that she's next in line and she's just waiting for the time when she assumes the throne. So it does, you know, inform how you think of the character.
And this poor Sophia, I mean, poor Regan, that middle child.
Middle child syndrome.
Yeah, thinking of you, Sophia.
How much of your motivations, opinions, your stories are taken from the original play, and how much are, I guess, flights of fancy or, you know, reading into what those characters might be like and then kind of extrapolating from there?
You mean us as actors or the play?
Within the play, how much of those, how much of your characters' motivations and, you know, the paths that you take within Marble Hearts, for instance, how much of that is derived from King Lear and your actions within King Lear?
Go ahead.
I'm having a lot of fun trying to draw inspiration to justify why we go this way, or well, why I'm resonating with Cordelia in this way for Marble Hearts. So, you know, if we take what happened in King Lear, then I sort of work backwards, connect to. I mean, and also in discussion with Ewan and our discoveries in the space, it's really fun to say, okay, that happened, and then how did we get here? Why? So what was really going on? And stuff like that. It's wonderful. It's really exhilarating. Yeah.
I think the director, who is also the writer, Ewan, has taken a few liberties with what happened, the plot points of King Lear. So you could say that this play is inspired by, but it's also kind of like an homage to what could be going on off the stage during the playing of King Lear. So it's sort of like a fan fiction, I think. Thinly veiled as social commentary.
Why do you think it's important to be able to take different perspectives and stances on a story that's been told before? Particularly, I guess, from the perspective of being a woman.
Because history is written by the victors.
That's very interesting, you know. I think we're often very made aware of how history sort of becomes revisionist. Like, we look back on it and think of it the way we want to think of it. I also think that plays, much as I like the idea of seeing a very classic Shakespeare play the way it might have been done once upon a time, I'm very, very excited by people redoing something or retelling something or just putting, it's like sampling in music. You take something that you really like from someone else and it's lovely, but you change it and you make it like great, but it's not the same as the other thing. So you're not just simply copying something. You're putting your own spin on it, your own stamp on it. And I think that tells an audience or a person reading a text, say, what the creators or the actors, such as ourselves, people who are doing it, feel about it. So it's sort of a reflection of how we think, I think.
Yeah, and I don't remember where I read this once, but they say that if you have a picture or a story about a happy family, if daddy is happy, it is a happy family, you know? That's the assumption. But because daddy's happy and daddy thinks of his family as happy, and that's the outward culture. But if you were to ask somebody else in the family for their point of view, you might get a picture of a different family, but it's the same family.
It's the same family, and the way people are interacting are the same, just the way people view those interactions
are
different.
Yes, but yeah, that's right. But when you understand the whys and things, yeah. I mean, so for me, it's just interesting to be open to different perspectives of the different players and this, people involved, people that had things done to them or did things to other people. Why?
It makes you think that, it makes you realize that, say, an event or a historical situation, it's so fluid, actually. What really was the truth? And did victims really not benefit at all? Was there some trade-off somewhere? And it makes you realize everything is always up and down and in flux, and it's just how you feel about something that makes it real to you. And I think that this is something quite fascinating about this play. I think each one of our characters is absolutely sure that we're right.
King Lear is a complex story. It's got a fairly large cast of characters. Everyone has their own machinations. Everyone has their own, you know, ideas of what they should be getting, what they need to do in order to get the thing that they want. What is gained and what's lost from paring it down to three characters and isolating them and looking at, you know, okay, so the men aside, what do the women want, and what are you doing to get there? What do you think's kind of, are there losses and gains?
Well, I wonder if there were any male characters in the play, whether it would show some kind of weakness or strength up in each of the characters or in any of the characters. When it's just the three of us, and it's not just three friends, it's three sisters who have a shared and also very different ideas of what actually our histories are.
Yeah.
But a shared history and a common antagonist, I guess, in Lear.
Mm.
And it really boils down to who survives. And in that case, even though it's female, feminine, or, you know, it could be anybody. You just do what you need to do to survive. And you basically stand by your convictions or don't.
Yeah.
So I think it really makes it very, very clear cut. It's just interesting in how each of our characters approach our problems, I think.
We got a brief tour of your rehearsal space earlier, you know what? Perhaps you could tell us also what it's like to actually, what has it been like rehearsing and workshopping and being able to play around with this?
We have a director who I think likes to see the possibilities in something and see what bubbles up, basically.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a bit unnerving because you're not sure if you're just going too far down the wrong way. But then you realize that it all sort of evens out somehow and everybody gets to a non-verbal agreement or something about
there's some kind of understanding that I really like that he's very open to, you know, I mean, you never know until you try it and see it, so you have crazy instincts about I wonder if, and then you do it, and sometimes it's a nice addition, or sometimes it sparks something else. And yeah, and sometimes so now we know that maybe not that. But it's a very safe space to try things out.
And having that freedom allows for actors to sort of throw something to other actors. Sometimes an idea comes up in somebody else and you're going, oh, great, that gives me the opportunity to be this way or to go over or whatever. And
to spark off one another.
Yeah.
Right.
It's quite a free space, I think.
And finally, I think this tends to come up in most conversations we have about either Shakespeare or, you know, in this case, inspired by Shakespeare plays or performances. What elements of the story that's by now, you know, 400 years old, transcend time and place to keep it relevant for the Malaysian audience that will be attending?
Backstabbing, jealousy, rage, murder.
Family businesses in second generation, third generation.
smile, baring your teeth through a smile.
Yeah.
When you feel like killing somebody.
Sisterhood, finding solace with each other sometimes. You know, like when sisters find solace in each other, support each other, but drive each other crazy. I mean, there's that.
So family squabbles, violence, rage.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
And also just maybe not, it's in our play it's three women, but I think maybe different marginalized groups may or may not find this, that that somebody who has the power says, this is good for you, you know, I will use my power in this way and it's good for you, and then there's not really anything you can say or do against that.
Well, it's really funny because between the three of us we more or less own the kingdom, and yet we're still fighting over who is the most loved, who should get the most, and all that.
Despite who owns that little bit more?
Yeah, it's it just boils right down to humanity, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the people interested in catching Marble Hearts, when is it kicking off?
It's starting off, it's from the 20th to the 23rd of January. That's at 8:30 p.m. And on the 24th is at 3 p.m. And tickets are 35 ringgit. And call the box office. Do you want to know the number?
Let's give them the number.
For KL Pack, that's 03-404-79-000. And then we'll be going on to Penang at the end of January, and that's at Penang Pack, 28th to the 30th of January, 8:30 p.m., 31st of January, 3 p.m., and you can call about your tickets at 048-899-1722 or 2722.
Wonderful. Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you
Thanks
for
so
having
much,
us.
Lynn.
I've been speaking with Christina Oro and Marina Tan, two of the actors involved in Marble Hearts. And you have been listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.